All right, good morning again. We've got several visitors here, and I just wanted to kind of explain what we started doing a few months ago, of having some of the young men come and present a short talk for us this morning as we go through our 9 o'clock service. And this morning we're going to have a sermon based on the Christian and giving this morning. But what I want to do before I hand the service over to these young men is I want to take a moment and think about how we prepare to take on a task. I think most of us, when we think about preparing for a task, we go straight for pencil and paper and we start writing down a checklist, right? We build a to-do list. Maybe we go to our notes app, whatever it might be, but we understand that concept of building a list so we can check it off. Maybe this is for cleaning the house. Maybe it's projects around the house. Maybe it's preparing for a vacation or camp. Kids camp that they went to over the summer. But it's something familiar to all of us is this checklist, this to-do list. Now, for the parents of school grade kids, this is something that we are familiar with. And this is something that we've done. I've probably had a scenario just like this over this summer. And we created a list while we're at work. Here's some things I need you to do, right? Clean the house, clean the bathrooms, brush your teeth, make your bed, all these different things. And to our surprise, when we get home, what's done? Everything on that checklist is checked. Those boxes are checked. Everything is done. But when we look around the house, you start scratching your head. What was done? There was nothing. We've explained to you over and over what we expect, what we want you to do. We gave you a list, and you checked that box, but nothing was really done. We all get frustrated when we find the kids were just doing enough to check that box. But I want us to look at another list on the slide above, and I want us to be looking at some of the things that we do from our spiritual lives perspective. And I want us to ask the question, do we just check the box? Do we do just enough to check the box? And even though God has given us in detail what we need to do, when we look through God's word, he explains to us how we need to be living our life, how we need to strengthen our spiritual life. But again, sometimes we're all guilty of it, of just checking the box. So this morning we're going to dive into one of these items specifically that God has outlined for us. And that topic is our responsibility to give. So at this time I'm going to ask the boys to come up and they're going to give their talk on different parts of the way we can give and within our life and our spiritual service.
A Christian in giving of our money. Luke 10, verses 33 through 35. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii. And gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Everything we will ever own or have owned or own right now is not ours. It is God's. Our job is to take care of what we are given. The Samaritan gave some of his money by giving up his own donkey to let the sick man ride. He paid for the innkeeper to help the man recover. Imagine a man doing this in our own time. Letting this hurt man ride in his nice car to a hotel and pay to have him stay there. Also, to have a nurse to take care of him. He would have paid 2 days' worth of his paycheck and told the front desk his bank account if he needed to pay more for the man. We need to make sure we use the money that God has blessed us with to serve others. Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Don't just give your money in the money basket. Give money to people who are in need, like put food in the food bank, or help one of your kids or grandkids' teachers in supplying their classroom with what they need for school. Can we learn more about what we use our money on from the Good Samaritan? I believe that we can learn a great deal about how we spend more of our money for giving like the Good Samaritan and change some of our ways to be more like this man.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here. Today I'll be talking about giving to the church. Giving to the church is a very important aspect of our worship. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. We'll be reading from there today. Like I said, giving to the church is a very important aspect of our worship. The reason we give is found in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Let's read that now. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so do you also. The reason we find in this passage is simply because we are commanded to give. As a Christian, we have the responsibility to give our money to the church. The next verse tells us more details on how and why. Let's read verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that when no collections be made done when I come. This verse tells us to set aside and give every first day of the week. The thought of setting aside money each week means that we are purposely thinking on how we can give back to the Lord. If we need to give from the heart, we need to give from the heart, because if we don't, we feel like we have to and we don't give purposely. This should not be something we react and feel guilty at the last minute when the collection plate is being passed around. When we set money aside, we are showing God that we realize how well He has blessed us and that we have the opportunity to give a portion back to Him. Another reason we give is so that the work of the church can continue. Oftentimes we say that, but what is meant by the statement? There are many things we can do to spread the gospel on this earth. The funds collected are used to purchase resource material for the congregation, gives us a building to worship in, and gives us an opportunity to support many preachers here locally and all around the country. Do we realize how important our giving is? Another reason that plays an important role in our giving, it shows our love to God. He gave His only Son to die on the cross for our sins. If He simply asks us to set aside funds and give to the church to grow His kingdom, then we need to do so. The part we play in giving is non-comparable to what God done for us. One question to think about, though, is why is it important for the church to give? If we all do our part and support this congregation, then there's a good chance that this local church will lose what many people work so hard to establish. We give not to feel good about ourselves, but to please God. If we choose not to give, then what are we doing? We are not doing what God commanded and living in sin. I'd like to end by reading these verses again. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church to Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections be made done when I come. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. As we continue our talk on a Christian and giving, I would like to take a few moments and talk about giving of our time. As we start our discussion on giving of our time, I would like to turn to Romans 12, 10 through 13. And that will be our main passage that we will refer to. Romans 12, 10 through 13. Starting in verse 10, we read, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality." In these verses, we see that if we want to be like Christ in giving of our time, we must have the proper love for one another and show honor. This is not easy at times because we like to think more about what I want or how much I have to do. The focus is naturally towards selfishness, but we must think of others first. Jesus taught us by many examples that we must show humility and focus on others more than ourselves. How many times was Jesus stopped or interrupted when he had somewhere to be or when he had something to do? He didn't just get upset or push them away. Several times he rebuked his apostles because they reacted as if these strangers were a hindrance to what needed to be done. But Jesus gave up his time to help or heal others. When we look back at our passage in Romans 12, we also see that we are encouraged to contribute to the saints and seek to show hospitality. In this passage, this is referred to specifically to the saints, but it is a good characteristic to have towards everyone. This thought of contributing is something that is active, meaning we are actively doing what we can to help other Christians that are having troubles. This may be financially, like we have already talked about. This may be physically, or it may be a spiritual issue. I'm not going to spend much time on the financial, but what are alternative things I can do to help others physically? If someone is sick, had surgery, or maybe a death in the family, there are several things we can do. We can take them a meal, we can just go sit and talk with them and be with them, and we can also pray with them. All of these things mentioned take me humbling myself and contributing to the needs of those around me. The second part of this is seeking to show hospitality. This takes what we just discussed about and goes one step farther. We must be actively looking for the opportunity, not only looking, but we should be praying that God brings us this opportunity to do good. In my personal life, I want to be playing video games, playing basketball, or other sports like that, when I really should be spending time with others and helping out around the house. I remember last year, there was an evening when we were sitting at home, and then my dad noticed something strange up the road. He noticed that the neighbor had a large tree that fell across the road. It was one of those evenings that was impressive because Dad and Uncle Ryan grabbed their chainsaws to help cut it up. And then in just a few minutes of getting started, there was close to 20 neighbors helping out. We could have just waited for the county guys to come and take care of it, but with everyone focused on helping each other, it was done in a few hours. All the neighbors put aside what they were doing in order to help someone else in need. An example that comes to mind is the account of the Good Samaritan. Please turn to Luke 10:25-37. Luke 10:25-37. Here we read of a man that was beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. Keep in mind that the road wasn't just any road, it was a trade route, so there would be people traveling at the same time along the same road. Let's go ahead and read Luke 10:25-37. Luke 10:25-37. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he said, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by a chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." In verse 31, we see that a priest came along and saw the man on the side of the road, but yet he decided to go on the whole other side of the road and completely ignore. In the very next verse, we see that another man comes along, a Levite. In like manner, the Levite passed on the other side of the road and did not pay any attention to him. Verse 33 says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." In the next few verses, it talks about how the man stopped, bandaged the man up, put him on his animal, and took him into a city. But he didn't just stop there. He took him to a man and said, "Take care of him, and I will pay the full price." The love and compassion this man had to take care of this man that was already being half to death. He could have passed on like the other 2 examples that is set for us, but instead of focusing on what would be best for himself, he humbled himself and gave up his time and money to help someone in need, someone in the story that could not help himself. This is the love and compassion we should show for others, even if they are our greatest enemy. My last example for today is Jesus, our ultimate example. We can read throughout the New Testament and see examples of Jesus giving of his time, but one that stands out to me is found in John the 11th chapter. In this chapter, we find a man that died and his name was Lazarus. This was a moment in Jesus' life that was hard because he had such a great relationship with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus traveled to Judea to be with Mary and Martha as they were dealing with the loss of their brother. When Jesus arrived, he saw Lazarus' dead body and was driven with compassion and great sorrow. And we see this in verse 35 where Jesus wept. This was close to the time where there was a plot to kill Jesus, but Jesus had been focused on getting things prepared before his betrayal and crucifixion. Even though he felt the load of that he had to do, he still felt compelled to go out of his way to help a family that needed him more. Are you personally focused on giving of your time for others in need, or are you focused on your own wants and desires? Lastly, I would like to read in Philippians 2, 3 through 10. Philippians 2, 3 through 10. As we wrap up. Philippians 2, 3 through 10. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The point I am trying to get across for you today is that giving is much more than giving money to others. Giving means for you and me to have the humility like Jesus by considering others more significant than ourselves, knowing that when this life is over, God will exalt us just like he did to his one and only son, Jesus. Thank you for your kind attention.
Good morning. If you would go ahead and be opening your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Mason, Kale, and Aiden have talked about different ways we can give money, time, and to the church. I'm going to talk about the attitude we should have when we give for a few minutes this morning. Let's go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. I am reading from the English Standard Version. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God's love is a cheerful giver. I noticed a couple of big words in there. Reluctantly means unwilling or hesitant. Compulsion means being forced to do something. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. He had already helped the church get started there. He had left and wrote them a letter based on how they were doing. He encouraged them, corrected them, and taught them. In chapter 9, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about how to give money to the church. There were things that needed to be taken care of that involved money. Paul was teaching them how God wanted that done. Remember, Paul was doing the writing down of the words, but the words came straight from God. Cale did a great job of covering the money topic in this verse. Let's focus on the attitude, on the heart. Remember the word heart. That will come around again. So what does our attitude need to look like when we are giving? First, God commands us to have a cheerful heart. It's easy to get the emotions of happy and cheerful confused. When we are happy and content because of the situation we are in. Cheerfulness is a choice. We can choose to be cheerful no matter what is going on in our lives. When giving, sometimes it may be hard to choose to have that cheerful heart that isn't hesitant or unwilling. Giving sometimes requires sacrifice. It is not always easy, especially if something needs done for someone who may have not been nice to us. If I have a small bag of extra toasty Cheez-Its, but if Lucas and Sophie are hungry too, well, I should not hesitate, which sometimes I do, but I'm working on it, and split the bag three ways. My mom shouldn't have to force me to make that choice. That sacrifice is for me. I will most likely feel hungry, but if I will have changed my heart to share with them and stuff, selfishly filling myself with all of it. Is your heart cheerful when you are giving to others? Second, when we give, our giving should be free. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew 10, 8 through 10. In this chapter, Matthew, one of Jesus' apostles, writes about the time from his viewpoint when Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. Jesus had taught them and now was sending out them out to use the buddy system to tell others what was going to happen. All the things that people read about in the scriptures that the prophets said were happening. The Savior and Messiah the Jews were looking for had come. Very exciting stuff. Jesus gave the apostles the power to do special things. Let's read verse 8 together. Jesus is telling them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals, or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. Jesus gave them the power to do these miracles without asking them to pay them for it. He told them that they were not allowed to accept payment for the things they did for others. I don't have the power to cast out demons or raise people from the dead. Jesus isn't here to give me that ability, but I can give to others freely. When we give, we should not be expecting anything in return. Well, I did something for this person. I'm not going to do anything else until they do something for me. That's not free giving. That strings attached and expectations. That's not how God gives. Even if we wanted to, we could never pay him back for all he does for us. And he doesn't expect us to. Sometimes we may need a changed heart to give freely. Next, our giving should be in secret. Please turn to Matthew 6, 3, 4. Matthew 6, 3 through 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees it will reward you. Some things people will know about. Keeping quiet can be taken to extremes. Often we don't talk about our struggles or things that might need help for many reasons. It's hard to admit when we make a mistake and may need help. The more people who know, more can help. We need to use discernment in all situations. But remember the word I wanted you to focus on? Heart. What is our heart like? Am I letting people know there is someone who needs help and asking others to help out of genuine need? Or am I broadcasting everything and I'm doing so everyone can see what I am doing? See the difference? It's all about the heart. It's so easy to fall into the trap of wanting others to know what we are doing and hearing them praise us. When our heart wants that, then our joy comes from only the other sinful human beings. If our heart is right, then our joy comes from the all-powerful God, creator of all things. Who would you rather be rewarded by? Have you ever felt jealous or compared yourself to someone else in a negative way? Sure, we all have. Giving in secret with the right heart can sometimes help us with those struggles. Is your heart willing to give in secret, seeking the praise of God rather than people? Lastly, we need to give as we have the ability to do so. We can't give what we don't have. Does God expect us to spend money we don't have or do something for someone that may hurt us physically? No, my mom has to be careful with her back. God doesn't expect her to go help something move something heavy. That could hurt her. She helps by getting my dad. We all have been given different things by God, different amounts of money, talents, and time. I don't know why, but God does. Everyone has something to give. If we all can give what we can, no one will be lacking anything. Do you remember the word? Did you catch all these things have in common? Giving is the work of heart. We can give with all we have if our heart is not what it should be. It means nothing to God. Nothing. Today, when you are examining your heart, I would like you to encourage you to ask yourself, is my heart soft and moldable like a nice piece of clay? Jeremiah tells us our heart should be like that, soft, bendable, easily made into shape. God is the potter, the artist who is shaping the clay to what it wants to be. If our heart is soft, God will be able to make us what he wants us to be, not what we think it should be like. If our heart is reluctant, unwilling, it won't work. Our heart would be hard like this rock, not bendable at all. Will God ever force us to have a soft clay-like heart? No, it won't work. We'll have to want it. If he will give us all the tools and will help us, but we have to put the work in. He has given us the right to choose. What will your choice be? Please bow with me. Father God, you are fair and just, kind and compassionate. You are the ultimate example of how we should give. Please help us to soften our hearts and allow you to make us and who you want us to be. Help us to give cheerfully, freely, in secret when needed, and to the best of our ability. Thank you so much for sending your son to die on the cross. We are so in need. Help us to always remember that. Without you, we are nothing. We love you, Gordon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Today we will be talking about the Christian and giving thanks to the Lord. Please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 through 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. God gives us every good thing in our life, therefore we thank him for his love. The next point I'm going to make today is giving thanks with a humble heart. Please turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, "Thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give thieves all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eye to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This passage talks about a Pharisee and the tax collector. They were praying. First, we have a Pharisee who was praying like he was proud of himself. Then we have the tax collector who was praying with a humble heart. The tax collector was justified and the Pharisee was not. Let's read verse 14 again. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The next point I'm going to make is giving thanks in all circumstances. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 through 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We should give thanks even if we're sick or well, poor or rich, sad or happy. The last point I'm going to make today is giving thanks always and for everything. Please turn to Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Ephesians 5, 19 through 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual that you may song singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We should be on the lookout for all the blessings that God gives us, because God is always blessing us with everything. We should always be ready to give thanks. In conclusion, we have looked at giving thanks with a humble heart, and we have looked at giving in all circumstances. Lastly, we have looked at giving thanks always and for everything. Let's bow our heads and pray. Holy Father, we humbly offer you this prayer, knowing that we are that you are the Almighty God and we are your humble servants. Thank you for always answering our prayers in your way. Thank you for the fellowship we share here at Norwood and the encouragement we give each other. Thank you for our food, shelter, family, and our many blessings. We offer you this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, boys. Again, I appreciate the efforts the boys put into this their sermons this morning to kind of give us a deeper look on how we are to give. We live in a society where when we talk about giving, we automatically think about money. And how money is the only avenue to checking the box, as we talked about earlier. You know, we have that attitude, well, we gave to the church, or we gave to so-and-so to be able to take on the situation and I don't have to deal with it. So I'm good. I gave. But the boys outlined this morning multiple ways of what giving truly means when we look through the scripture and how some of it is money and a lot of it is time. And then ultimately, our thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for us. So we must examine our lives today to see what sacrifices we are making to properly give as God had instructed to us. So as we close this morning, we're going to be led into closing prayer by Hanley, and then we'll be dismissed to classes.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Please help us give of our money and give of our time, and just please help us give, Lord. Please help us care about other people, Lord. Please help us with just being more like you, Lord. Please help us just spend time with each other, Lord. And please help us go to church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.